Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. This is the podcast of the radio show from May 9th. Thanks for listening. We're going to start out by talking murder hornets real quick, and then we're going to dive into how do you repair that driveway, walkway, or patio that is made out of concrete, and, well, it's seen better days. Is there a way to skim coat that and make it look better without having to tear it all up? Maybe it's a driveway. Maybe it's your garage floor. Let's talk about that and more in Hour 1 of Around the House with Eric G. Now let's get to the show.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. This is the beginning of hour one, and we've got breaking news. We have breaking news, murder hornets. What's going on? Let's run out to Nathan with Bloom Pest Control, our correspondent on the murder hornets. Welcome, brother, to Around the House.
Thank you, Eric. Hey, have you seen these guys? They look like something out of, like, Hunger Games.
No, right? Kidding. Or am I wrong, man? No, man. I've been, you know, of course, this has been the topic number one across social media this week, are these literally Hunger Game looking murder hornets, which, you know, has gotten an amazing amount of press out there. And I wanted to bring in somebody who deals with pest control, you know, from a day in, day out basis, and bring some balance to this discussion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we can all agree that all that information is at our fingertips, but looking at it from a perspective like, what is the impact? And it's pretty clear that these Japanese murder hornets actually really enjoy honeybees. And I think that is probably the most impactful because, you know, honeybees are pollinate, I think it was 3 out of the 5 main sources of food that we consume, veggies, that is, for those out there that are confused. I like meat. Like meat, but we also eat veggies, you know, as a garnish, you know. But I think it's something that is interesting nowadays with all the social media, the instantaneous information that comes out there. How do you sort it all out and say, well, how's this going to impact us? You know, I know that there's been sightings of them up in north, deep up high in Washington, and also in parts of Canada, and so.
Yeah, it's just right up there in Whatcom County. So we do have our radio show almost hits up there with that. But right up there on that, you know, Washington-Canadian border, and they've been finding up there. And if, for people out there that are looking, go over to the Washington Department of Agriculture because they actually have some pretty good – they've got a pretty good plan for going after this up there, it seems.
Yeah, and I know it's a grassroots movement with the beekeepers, just watching some and reading some of the information that's out there. They're setting out plans, and I like the idea of that. I know that there's the talk about they have a venom.
Yep.
One of the few venomous sort of hornets that we are aware of in the Northwest, that and the bald-faced hornet, now that these guys are here. But it's pretty new and to here. So I'm curious to watch how this unfolds myself. We even at Bloom talked about the idea of because they can sting through a regular bee suit, because we utilize bee suits to take care of those wasps and hornets here.
Yep.
But they're not able to sting through the bee suit. So even had a conversation of having a bee suit made, but that was just, you know, sort of a fun conversation with my
wife. Exactly, yeah.
She's going to make it out of Kevlar. And I'm like, I could be like Iron Man.
There we go. I like this. Yeah. I like it. So, yeah, any of you guys out there listening that are in Whatcom, Skagit, Island, San Juan, Jefferson, and Clallam counties up there, head over to the Washington State Department of Agriculture page, because they do have, for you people only, they do have a voluntary trapping, you know, thing that they're trying to do up there, that they want to be able to see if they can find out where they're at. So they're asking for people up in those counties only to set traps. And that way, you know, and they said, of course, don't, if you are, they're basically setting a bottle trap from what I saw. But basically, if you're allergic to bee, wasp, hornet stings, this game's not for you.
Yeah. And I, like watching it develop, and hopefully, I think, this quick response rate with good communication, we can get this under control. I imagine that I in my own head, just trying to utilize my imagination, how did they get here? I would almost guess maybe they might have come over, on a cargo container, or hitchhiked with somebody over, and happens to be that our climate here, being that it's mild winters and, you know, mild summers, it's a perfect environment for them, much like where they came from Japan.
Yeah, this is a very similar climate, you know, and that's the thing. Now, what should we be doing out there now? Because, you know, I've noticed around, and we talked about it a few weeks ago on the radio, but what should we be doing right now to, you know, get into the season for the regular wasps and hornets, you know, and all those kind of things out there? Of course, we don't want to mess with those honeybees at all, because those are the good guys. But if we're trying to go after some of these other guys that are going to be getting our faces during the backyard barbecue and that kind of stuff, what are some things we should be doing right now in these colder days before we get into these, you know, warm days that are just hitting us this weekend?
Well, to reiterate, getting rid of those old nesting sites, if you can. Sometimes they're pretty high up in the eave areas. Typically, wasps like to have an open nest. They look like a honeycomb. Knocking those down so that you can identify if new nests are being developed, just making it uninviting for them. They typically return to where they've been born if they made it through the winter time, which probably a lot did this winter, because they've been an extraordinarily mild winter. There are some homemade or home DIY, like you say, bottle traps that you could start to utilize. I know that you can do some store-bought purchasing, but as we talked about and discussed, that not every one of those works every single time. A bit of a trial and error method of that for, you know, just trapping them, catching them, and then discarding them once they get trapped inside those wasp and bee traps. I shouldn't say bee, sorry about that.
It's wasp and hornet traps. The ones that don't get the bees. Correct.
We can edit that later, right?
Kidding. We'll fix it in post.
Thanks. I think it's one of those things, just be smart, be logical. You know, don't poke the tiger if it's there.
No kidding. A little common sense goes a long ways. And when in doubt, if you're allergic to this stuff, call in somebody like you guys, you know, at Bloom Pest Control to come in and take care of this stuff, because you guys know how to do this safely. And sometimes, you know, as a homeowner, you go, oh, I can handle it. And all of a sudden you start to get into it and you're like, nope, this is outside of my range. And that's when you bring the pros in.
Yeah. And, you know, that's not a pride thing either. I mean, we utilize methods that have the absolute least amount of impact on the environment. We do have to use insecticides at points, but it's very, very, insequential to, especially for these isolated site nest areas that we have to, you know, just get rid of once we get in there. So I had a story of a guy that went to do it on his own, and after about $1,000 emergency bill, he called us and we took it out. We were able to get there and address it. And we're also, you know, seriously conscious of, you know, people's concerns about the environment and insecticides. So,
well, you know what usually happens is the most common DIY answer is they go out and get the what I call the nuclear hose end sprayer, and they get on the ground and they're up there at the story and a half, two stories up with this thing, and they're just blowing insecticide all over them, all over the house, all over the neighbors. It's just flying around everywhere, and it's pinpoint control with a nuclear weapon, and it's way too much for what really needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've done it to the point where we take the big hornet nest and get a ladder up next to one, and then we grab a garbage bag and we just tear it down because we have a bee suit on. That's why. I don't recommend that for anybody unless you're really like adrenaline rush.
That is a pro tip right there. That is not a DIY project.
No, you know.
That's awesome. Well, brother, thanks for coming on the radio today, man. And for anybody out there with questions, hit them up at bloompestcontrol.com. That's bloompestcontrol.com. Brother, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming in on short notice.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. I appreciate you, man. Thanks.
You too, brother. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap, and we'll get back to the show just after these important messages. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, we been talking murder hornets last segment. Yeah. You didn't even get a word in it twice, did you?
No, hey, whenever you've got breaking news and you've got to get something out there with the professionals, I'll take a back seat.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, you wear multiple hats. You've got the producer hat, you got the co-host hat, you got it all going on over there. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. Hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And then make sure you go to aroundthehouseonline.com. We're going to keep adding more stuff up there because as we get into more summer projects here, what you're going to see is you're going to see me putting up a bunch of more stuff on that website as well, because that's really kind of home base for all of us. So if you want to see what our store is, if you want to see what a hat or some, you know, t-shirts and coffee mugs, we got those over there. We're schlepping those over there as well, as if you want to see all the videos and even some of my rants and raves in the blog, it's all right there.
And all your Good Day Oregon segments, too.
Yeah, I used to put them all up there, but quite frankly, the station ran out of room on their website. So after about 6 months to a year, they would start disappearing. Then I had 100 bad links on there that just looked bad. So now I'm just kind of showing my favorite ones up there. And if you want to go over to, you know, KPTV, Fox 12 and search Eric G, you can find them all over there as well. But this is kind of the best of over there, that the more relevant ones that we see.
And the stuff that you probably put a little bit extra work into that you're not, I'm sure you're proud of all of the ones you do, but
yeah, all the fun ones.
Yeah.
That's where I put the fun ones. So, hey, give us a call in the studio here.
Yeah, our number here in the studio, you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 971-233-8992. You're going to call, leave us a message, we'll call you back, record you, and we'll put you in the show.
You got it. We've had a bunch of different stuff. We even got those emails fixed last week, so that's good. So if you do want to contact us, just head over to the contact us on aroundthehouseonline.com.
Yeah, if you don't want to give us an actual physical call, you can drop us a line there or on the Around the House with Eric G Facebook page.
You got it, all those different ones. And then I hope you're catching all our daily tips out there, as well as make sure that you enable the Alexa skill. We give a weekly tip on Alexa, so if you go into your Amazon Alexa, enable skills when you sign in under that, under your name, you can enable the Around the House with Eric G and get your weekly tip right there.
There you go.
All right. Well, we've been talking about all these different things, and it's kind of a smorgasbord kind of day with this, and I really like that because we don't have just one topic, we don't just have one guest. This is kind of a little more of a guest-free, except for our last segment, this is kind of where we're going to be today. So no big interviews the rest of the show here. But I want to talk a little bit and give a shout out to Tim's Auto Repair here in Portland. And I know all you guys across the country are like, what are you talking about Tim's Auto Repair in Portland for? These guys did a really good job. And look out for people like this, because what they've been doing for first responders is they've been giving free oil changes and free multi-point inspections on cars. So we had a listener that I sent over there because she had, you know, first responder, single mom, or her SUV had $1,800 worth of errors in it, and she was worried about getting to the hospital, and the place that she had gone to said it was going to be $1,800, and you know the story. We've all seen it. And they took her in over there the next day. They slid her in, changed the oil, did the multi-point inspection, realized that it didn't look like that was an $1,800 fix. It'd be a few hundred dollar fix. They did it for free.
Wow.
No cost.
And I mean, there are places like this all across the country. I've heard stories of you know, people going the extra mile, going above and beyond the call of duty for the people that are on the front lines during this.
And I love that. I love that. So just a solid shout out to Tim's Auto Repair here in Portland, and good for them.
Yeah,
I just
absolutely.
And I know you, like you said, there's some in Chicago and Pennsylvania and Seattle. They're all over, but I like these kind of people like that.
We love hearing the stories, too. Yeah. That's awesome.
Stories like that, feel free to hit us up on Facebook. We'd love to hear them. So, all right, everybody. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about today was, and I know we're going to run out of time before we go to break here in a few minutes, but I want to dive into this. We all have seen those concrete driveways, patios, mm-hmm. where you sit there and you look at them, and they're all spalled up, like the top surface is coming off them.
Okay.
You know, like, it's like, oh, man, this needs to get, maybe there's a couple little cracks in there. And you can actually repair these now. You actually can go in and do a skim coat, basically, and trowel a skim coat over the top of that and give you something that's going to get a few more years out of it, which is kind of cool because Quikrete makes a product that does that. And I've got it right here buried under my different stuff. But they've got their concrete resurfacer, basically, which is cool. And what I like about this is that, you know, to make this a very basic statement, you can go over the top of it and you've got to do a lot of prep work, but you can go over the top of that and save that concrete for a while. But one of the first things I want to talk about with this product is that if you've got a concrete slab that's all busted up, so maybe it's the garage floor, for instance, and mm-hmm. there's four or five big cracks and you have definite slabs of pieces that are kind of moving around. What I mean by moving around is you probably can put a pencil between them.
Okay.
You know, those are big cracks.
It's starting to give away.
Yeah, it's starting to move around. Maybe it wasn't packed right. The problem is if you go over and hit that concrete resurface over the top of that without doing anything about that, you're probably going to have those things moving around when you pull a car across it.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't see it move, but it'll move, you know, 16th of an inch. And guess what? You're going to crack that resurfacer
that you just put on.
Maybe it's a month, maybe it's a year, whatever. It's hard and those situations happen. So maybe there's times like that that you want to either do some work on that slab and tie those things together using like carbon fiber or just replace the slab.
So that's not something that you can just go in and fill.
You're going to fill it, but it's still going to move.
Okay.
You know, it's, you know, you're putting something. Yeah, you're putting 4,000 pounds on something, and it's going to move. It's moving before. You filling in the cracks isn't going to lock it in. Now, there is a way kind of to lock it in that might work if it's not too under-supported. So what can happen is that you sit there, and they come in, they pour gravel down. They basically go to pour the driveway in the garage slab.
Mm-hmm.
Usually garage slab is first. Well, they come in to do that. Maybe they didn't pack it down well enough. Maybe the soil isn't that great. Maybe it was a little sandy. Maybe whatever the reason was. And then you start parking stuff on top of it. We'll talk about more about this story because it's in the Brown House Church.
Hey, this This is
Farewell, Angelina.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G. It goes down so smooth.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Hey, make sure you hit us up on the Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And then hit our closed group, Around the House Nation, because if you saw the air filter post this last week, that came out of that group. So there's a lot of good funny stuff in there. There are two rules. One, you better have a sense of humor. Two, there are no politics.
At all.
And three, you better have a real profile to get
in. I mean, that's not a rule. That's just how we, get in on approving people. That's why we have it as a private group, so we make sure that there's not bots or anything else.
Yeah. We just want to keep good people in there, and everybody plays nice, so you can post up your project up there and have a good time with it. And you know, when you post to Around the House with Eric G, it kind of goes off on a side thing with Facebook. It's not like it ends up on the wall like it does because of the page. It kind of gets lost, and so that's why we created the Around the House Nation, so you could really throw it up there and have people see it firsthand. And it's a cool little group that way.
I guess we could call it our community page.
Yeah, it's our community page. So good call. All right. Well, you know, we've been talking about, and before my old band rudely cut me off, I was talking about, you know, using a concrete resurfacer here, because there are ways to save that concrete slab without tearing it out. Now, it is always optimal to tear it out and replace it. If you can go in and afford to tear it out and replace it, why not?
Especially, I would imagine, if you don't know what you're dealing with, on what's underneath there, how well it's supported, or anything like
that. Yeah, and when you're dealing with a garage slab that maybe has moved around, and I'm always worried about when that's happened, because what can happen, too, is you can have other breaks in the foundation or on the outside, because if there's some, you know, geotechnical engineering problems beneath the garage, it could go into the foundation as well, so you want to make sure of that. But what I was talking about before that cut off is that you can go in and tie those slabs together. And I've seen this done before. So what you do, they're called, basically, they're like concrete staples. They're about a foot long, but they're made out of carbon fiber. So if you think about, you have these different pads, and, you know, you got the big piece of garage slab, and you've got four or five pie-shaped pieces in there, three or four, doesn't matter. What you can do is go in there, and you have to use the right equipment, because you can't just make concrete dust anymore, because that's against the law. We'll talk about that in the next hour, because we're going to be talking about hazardous things about your house. But that concrete dust is bad because of the silica dust. So you can't do that, period. So what you do is you can come in there now with a wet saw, basically, and cut a groove and drill a couple holes in. So you think about it as looking like a dumbbell. Okay. So you got little bars on the end, and you know, couple companies make those out there. And you actually set those down into the concrete, but you embed them in epoxy.
Okay.
So it ties those two pieces together, and the tensile strength of that carbon fiber beam of the barbell piece of it ties it together. And now those things generally aren't going to move.
They're pretty strong.
Pretty strong. You'll probably most likely break the concrete before you break those. Now you've tied that back together. Now you can go through
and resurface
and do that. Now, if you've got a void though under the concrete, it's still not going to hold the weight of your car. So you got to think about that. That's one of those things that maybe it's time to go in there and replace that slab. And it's not as bad as what you think it is. You know, the worst part's, you know, pulling the stuff out of the garage, getting rid of the stuff, and coming in and repouring the new one. Then you're good as gold. So don't be afraid to repour that slab. But so here's one of the things that you need when you're doing this concrete, this, you know, resurfacing concrete that I think is important. You got to go through, basically, you need to have a pressure washer, because you're going to go through and hit it with a high-pressure washer and get the junk off the top of the concrete.
It's got to be completely, you know, clean before you resurface.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to go through, and it, really, you need to have this pressure washer, because otherwise you're in trouble. I mean, you're in serious trouble, because if you've got that, like in the Northwest here, for instance, if you've got that scum of moss, mildew, grime on there, or even if you're in the desert, you got that just dusty, you know, chalky layer on there, it's all going to come off. So you're going to go through first and clean that off, and you better have a good, you know, take oil and grease, all that stuff off there. So once you've done that, now you've got kind of a clean surface to do this. And that's probably the most important part of that is to get that part clean so you have adhesion. Otherwise, you're just going to have those thin layers coming up off the top. So once you've done that, if you've got any big, like, broken up areas where it's like, you know, big spalled areas where it's like, oh, it's a big canyon in the middle of that. Yeah, you need to patch that stuff. Yeah, patch the divots, get it. So, because you're only going to put a thin layer of this stuff. So, you know, you're going to go through and basically take this same concrete your servicer and just mix it into a thick layer of it. So you're going to make it a little more. What I always say when you're patching concrete, I like that stuff, whether you're using Fixall or one of these concrete resurfacers, I want to be able to make it like I'm going to make a snowball out of it.
Okay.
Now, don't go through that at somebody because it's going to be a problem. But a snowball. So you want to get it kind of that consistency so you can make it into that. Then you could push that into those cracks, trial it in, you got that good, let that set up. But then you're going to go through and mix up this concrete resurfacer, and you're going to mix it up in a bucket, basically. And you better have a good drill and a paddle on there. And so you're going to do that. You're going to mix this up, and you're going to make this and mix it up for about 5 minutes. This stuff is fairly liquid when it comes out. So they make a way to test that if you go by the little drop things to fix that. So you have to get it to basically, the correct consistency is when a 9-ounce cup of concrete resurfacer spreads to approximately 8 inches when poured on a flat, non-absorbent surface. So you want to be able to pour that out and have it go out about 8 inches.
Now, if it goes then too much, it's too wet. And if it doesn't go enough, you got to put some more water in.
You got it.
Okay.
That's where you're at. So, you know, and if you want to do a big, if you're doing a big driveway, you know, you don't want to do this in a bucket. You want to do it in a big mortar mixer, you know, basically go rent one from the home center or from your local tool place. Then you're good. And so you're going to go through and do, you know, basically no area larger than 12 by 12 area. So 144 square feet. You're going to do a section at a time and go through. So you're going to basically just pour this stuff out and then use one of those big wide commercial squeegees.
Okay.
And spread it out. And you're going to get that all kind of, it's going to level itself out. And then you'll have something out there. If you want a slip-resistant finish, you want to come back about 5 minutes later with a large push broom and do a broom on it so it gives that texture, just an basically. Just a little
grip there.
Yeah, okay. So a little texture. So if you've got a steep driveway coming down or something like that, or you've got it where you want to have that broom finish, yeah, like mine, you know, and that way you've got that broom applied finish. It looks really cool that way. It gives you a little texture.
I never even thought of using the broom like that. That's kind of cool.
That's how they do that. They get that just to use a broom finish and do that. You know, there's brush applied. There's all those things. But I like the squeegee trial method to get it super clean. But yeah, if you're in an area where you get snow and ice,
and you just need a little bit extra grip.
You need some grip on that. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. So, you know, you don't want to have a problem with that. And then guess what? You just make sure that you've got the temperature's right. You don't want to be doing this if it's below 50 or if it's, you know, you're getting up into a warm day. You know, you want to be in the shade doing this because otherwise you're going to be fighting. It's going to set up way too quick.
So spring, I mean, this time of year is really probably the best time to kind of get out there and do this with temperatures, hopefully, you know, right between 60 and 80 right now across the country.
Yeah, you want to do it in the cooler time of day, of course. And one little trick is if you want to, if you're getting a hot day and it's getting out of control, go get some ice. Mix it up with ice. Keep it cold. Keep it enough to where it'll set up.
Now, out of curiosity, and I don't know if that's where you're kind of heading here, I just don't want to miss it. How long does this stuff take to set? And like, say, if you do it in quadrants, how long would that project maybe take?
It's going to go pretty quick. Your longest time is going to be mixing stuff up. By the time you got it all cleaned up and going, you know, if you got to protect it for rain for about 6 hours. So you want to make sure you don't have a storm coming in or any pop-up thunder shower or anything like that. But really, if you've got the temperature above 50 degrees, you know, 8 hours later, it's pretty well cured. You don't want it to freeze within 24 hours because you still got moisture in it.
And it's going to expand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I would give it, you know, sheesh, I would give it 48 hours before I drove on it or something like that.
Just to be safe.
But you can walk on it within 24 and be fine.
Okay.
So, and then you're good. And now you've got a project that's going to look super cool. You fixed it all up. And you've added a ton of value without going out and spending, you know, thousands of bucks having it done. And, you know, I want to bring in a buddy here soon, and we'll bring that in and bring him in. He's a mason
concrete mason, and he's actually the trainer for the Concrete Masons Union. Yeah. So we'll bring Noah in one of these days. So yeah, we'll bring him in here pretty soon, and we'll be doing that. All right, when we come back, we got so much more just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk about home improvement every single weekend. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Thanks for joining us today, guys. We've been talking about resurfacing concrete, just kind of getting that concrete walkway, driveway, garage kind of dialed in and looking so much better. Because it's one of those kind of fun, easy home improvement tricks. And, you know, you were asking off air, and I was like, you know, let's talk about that for a minute. You know, how much is this stuff? You know, so if you go in and look, you know, at the, like, Quikrete 40-pound bag, you're about $26-27 a bag, depending on where you're out in the country, depending on where you're getting it.
Okay, well, my next question is, how much can you do with a 40-pound bag?
You know, it's depending on how thick you do it. So if you look at it and go, okay, you know, let's say you're going to do it a 16th to an eighth of an inch, you're going to do at a 16th, you know, from 35 to 90 square feet. But really, if you get down to that eighth inch thick, that's going to cover about 35 square feet per bag.
Okay.
So you're $300-$400 for a small two-car garage.
You're probably looking at about, you know, 6 to 8 bags if you're going to do.
Yeah, yeah. Something big. So you're under $1,000 no matter what you do on that.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad. I mean, no. I'm trying to, as somebody who's not very conscientious of how much it would cost to have your garage resurfaced if you were to, you know, pay for it.
Yeah, it's thousands, you know, not tens of thousands, but it's thousands depending on what you've got going on in there. And why I say that is because there's a lot of things going on. Maybe your heating air conditioning system is sitting on top of the slab, so they have to cut around that.
Okay.
Or maybe your slab in your garage was poured all in one in a monopore slab, so the walls are sitting on that slab, so now they have to go around and cut that too and tie back into it. So it's depending on the garage. You know, I can't really say, hey, it's going to cost you X to get a new garage slab poured because there's just too many variables in there.
But at least, you know, at least we've got an idea, range, what you can expect.
Now, here's the thing. When you're talking about, you know, we were talking about doing all this stuff about renting a concrete mixer, getting a, you know, a wet saw to cut down into, you know, to cut down into the concrete to put, you know, epoxy ties in or any of those other things. Well, here's the thing. You don't have to go out and buy those tools. Now, if you want to build up the tool shed,
there's nothing wrong
for
with that.
I'm all for it, 100%. But if you need to rent them, there are some great tool rental companies across the country, as well as, you know, if you want to go in and do the Home Depot one, you know, they've got them in some of the stores out there. Those are cool. You know, it's just depending on what your relationship is and where you're at out there. There's some great tool rental. I go out and rent the big tools because I just don't want to store them.
Yeah, you don't have anywhere to put them.
I don't have a massive big table saw. I've got a more contractor size one because I don't want to trip over the dang thing.
Yeah.
My space is more worthwhile right now. So that's one of those things. You know, don't be ashamed to go out and
rent some tools.
Rent some tools, you know. You know, this week I got tired. I actually sold my AMG and got a truck.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, here's the thing. And it comes down to the renting and tools thing. And that's why this is relevant. I mean, I've been borrow my buddy's trailer. He's got Sean's got a really cool dump trailer that I borrow, and he lives down the street from us, and he's a prince, and get to borrow that thing all the time. But, you know, I'd go take the SUV down there. It's diesel. It'll haul any trailer I want, but just going down there, borrowing it, taking a trailer through to the home center to get some plywood or something like that, it just got to be a hassle, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm going back to a truck.
You're like, I want
to
pick up.
So I went and got a vintage one. Hashtag no car payments. So, you know, not vintage, but I wanted something that's going to have fuel injection and, you know, some mid-90s. But, man, it's going to do everything I needed to do. And there's no car payment, which isn't a bad thing. Right
no,
now.
You've paid for it, and you don't have to pay for it anymore.
Yeah, no, there's maintenance. You'll always pay yes. for it, but you know what I
but
mean.
But there's so. Some of that you can do yourself, and some that you can take and get done.
Oh yeah, no question.
Maybe do Tim's. I don't want to get the name wrong. I don't want to say Tim's or Tom's. I don't quite remember.
Yeah, it's okay. That's okay. You know, I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, we can go to Tim's Auto Repair in Portland here, but I guess my point though is, and you're right with that, but. That's one of those things that, yeah, I mean, and the stuff I don't want to do, I can tackle. But there's a lot of that. It's such an easy thing to work on. It's a good DIY project for me, too.
Well, that, so. I mean, you always got to factor in time is money.
It is. And when things get really, right now, I got a little more time on my hands. But as we get, once we get busier, it's going to be a little different. So coming up in the next hour. So if you're listening to the podcast, you're listening to the show here, I want you to hang around for hour number two, because we're going to be talking about something that I have been battling on social media for a long time. Hazardous materials around your home. Now, this could be inside. It could be outside. Could be both. There are so many things around that people don't think about because they're, oh, we've done it for years, but they've never thought about what those consequences are for them. And one of the teases I'm going to tease ahead to here for you, railroad ties. Everybody builds stuff outside with railroad ties. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're filled with creosote. And if you, by chance, made a garden bed out of those, go get tested for cancer. Yeah, it's not good for you.
Especially if you're growing vegetables.
Exactly. We don't need any of that. Stick around. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
You're listening to Around the House. Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. We appreciate you listening. Now, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening and head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. That's the website where you can catch everything with Around the House and check us out on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And feel free to leave a comment. We'd love to see them. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.